Hello, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Buenos dias. Move as close to the front as you can. We are going to be having a teaching today. Avril, come on, baby. Just move up closer to the front. I like to see the whites of your eyes. I want to know who's throwing spitballs. Come on, Scott. Yes! You can move that bag over, Scott. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Oh, let's welcome his presence. Oh, you feel that? Ooh, the minute we turned our heart to him, I felt his presence. Come on, Marvel. He wants to touch you. Yeah? You're very special to him. Yeah. All right, I can feel that. Can you feel that? Yes, that's the Lord. Oh, I love that. Oh, it delights me when I see God's presence on people. I saw the fire of God hit Judy last night. Judy, raise your hand. I want you to know each other. Might even show up with name tags at some point. Please don't get mad at me. Judy, this is Judy. I saw the fire of God hit her last night, and I was watching her because I love it when I see the fire of God. You never know how your flesh is going to react when the fire of God shows up. You know, your flesh gets real antsy. It either comes into peace or else it just wants to dance or something, shout, you know. So she just got really red. Then she started wiping her face, and I thought, oh, she feels it. This morning she sends me a text that she was so hot last night she could hardly stand it. The fire of God? Yeah, it's not menopause, ladies. Guys, it really is his fire. When we're in the presence of the Lord, come expecting him to manifest in some way to you, in a way that will feel natural to you. But recognize it. So when you feel that touch of God, even when it's that gentle, soft breeze, or your heart feels suddenly lovey and soft, just thank him. Oh, thank you. Cultivate his presence. Cultivate. Recognize it. A lot of hearing from the Lord has to do with recognition. When the early church, the early Jewish nation was around their Messiah, they didn't recognize him. Recognition is crucial. And all that you do in the kingdom, recognize when he's touching you, when he's moving upon you. And don't worry about people thinking you're super spiritual. Don't worry about that. Just be real. Just be real who you are. You know, I watch certain people that I call lightning rods, because they're ones that I can tell right away when the Spirit of God is touching them. That's why I could tell right away when the Spirit fell on Judy with fire, because she started turning red. You know, that was a rather obvious indication. But there are other lightning rods that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and they have a hard time controlling their emotions, and they'll start getting really restless and antsy, and sometimes they'll start to shout, and sometimes they'll start to run, and sometimes that's why you get that term holy rollers. Because in the early move of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost throughout history, people who were touched by God didn't know what to do with it, their bodies. Because it's so great to have God touch you. The miracle isn't so much that he touches you. I say this all the time. The miracle is that you survive his touch. I mean, we're talking about the only God that there is in all of creation. All, there is no other. There is no other God. There's only one. And he's our God. And the difference with our God is he sent his precious son so that we could be united to him and become children, his children. That's a shocking thing. Think about it for a minute. His children, the only God in the whole universe, there's only one that's in charge of everything, all of creation, all of the stars that are now being created, the multiplied quadrillion stars, he created them and he gave each one of them names, and he knows you. He knows your name. He knows how many hair you have in your head, so he's constantly changing the figure because we're constantly losing and regenerating hair. And he's constantly on top of it. He doesn't miss one hair. He doesn't miss one thing that's happening in your life. He knows that you're sitting here, and he has a blessing for you. He does. You're that special to him. Oh, Scott, you are so special to him. Oh, I know, Avril. You know, there's some... I was there, Avril. I used to be your age. Long time ago. And I couldn't stand it when someone brought any attention to me. I won't look. Don't look at Avril. Everybody, nobody. Look, eyes here. Eyes here. That's Scott and Avril right here. I want you guys to know them. I want you to welcome them. I just wanted to do just a little explanation before I turn it over to Eleanor. Today is on the Saturday mornings. We are a part of our mandate from the Lord is as a training center. We are specifically kingdom focused. So we're focusing on kingdom issues and how the kingdom can flow effectively and how we can hear from the Lord more effectively and be overcomers overcomers, super achievers, the super victors, the super conquerors. So there's a way to get there. And I want all of you to get there. I want all of you to function at your full potential. But you need a place where you can practice that's safe. This is a safe place. Having said that, there has to be somebody in charge. One of the things that my mentor, Nita Berquist, taught me years ago, that it's something the Lord spoke to her. He said, if you want greater power in the meetings, you must exercise greater authority. Because remember, I talked about the manifestations of the flesh that happen when the Spirit of God comes in. Sometimes people will shriek, and sometimes whatever's inside, if you're not healed, that'll come out. It'll affect what you do, and if you're angry, that'll come out. So those kinds of things, they're not bad things, because God is simply healing and unlocking. But somebody has to say, shut up and sit down. No, I won't do that. But someone has to say, come on, this is how we do it here. It's okay, baby. One lady in my meeting, I was teaching at the church downtown, began to shriek, top of her lungs shaking. Well, she had a spirit of intercession hit her, and she didn't know what to do with this power. So I went up to her, and I said, it's all right, honey. And I took hold of her hand. I said, now let it go deep. Let it go deep. You're expending all your energy out of your mouth. You're wasting the energy. Let it go deep, down here, deep. And she doubled over and began to groan. And she shifted into effective intercession. And then I just explained to the crowd, well, we are a forgiving group, right? So if there has to be that kind of correction, we will always do it kindly. We will not dishonor you. I don't believe in dishonoring people. I really strongly believe in honor. And I also believe in protocol. So, but I know that in order to have the power anointing show up, we have to have someone who exercises authority. Might be me, it might be Robert, it might be Eleanor, but this is a safe place for you to exercise your gifts. We will not publicly shame you whatsoever. That's happened in the past. A lot of intercessors have been rebuked from the pulpit. A lot of prophets have been rebuked from the pulpit. We won't do that. If we need to, we can take you aside privately. Most of the time, you will recognize when you've blown it. Right? Know yourself. Find out what you are like, who you are, why you respond the way you do, why certain things stir you. For me, I have a real sense of justice, so injustice torques me. Then I have to start pacing and holding that soul of mine together so I don't call down fire on something. You know, you do have to have your soul under control. So we are going to have a kingdom group. And I'll tell you right now, we live in Alaska. Alaska is one of Alaska's great graces is that she is a warrior state. We are survivalists. We can handle rugged, tough things. But one of our weaknesses is we are so doggone independent. We want to do our own thing. If we don't agree with Washington, D.C., we want to secede from the Union. And we have these bumper stickers, we don't care how they do it outside. You know, which is, you know, that's part of our makeup as Alaskans. It's in the atmosphere here. But we are not going to be that way. You do care how they do it outside the walls of this church. You do care how you function in the kingdom. I want to encourage you, Deb Ruby, please move up front. I'm saving a seat for you. I need your prayers eyeball to eyeball. Come on, darling. Come on, baby. You get to be my age. You can call everybody baby. It's helpful because I always forget names. Hallelujah. So one of the things that we are going to do here is we are going to be a part of the training of kingdom warriors, kingdom prophets, kingdom intercessors, people who know how to handle the power of God with love and grace and kindness, and they will be accepted no matter where God sends you in society, whether he sends you into the political arena or into the hospitals, but you will be accepted because there's something about your demeanor that understands protocol and is willing to yield to the authority and honors governing authorities. That's the kind of people we will be, so that you will understand and you will be accepted in whatever sphere God sends you into. Whatever sphere, you'll find favor there. That's what I'm looking to see. I want you to be scattered like seed through all of the society of Alaska and find wonderful favor. That's one of our goals. So this morning, we're going to do a little bit of discussion about that. We have several words from the Lord. I know Judy has one. Okay, we may just have one. But I want you to listen to what the Lord is saying to you because I want to hear from you. And I don't want you to be afraid to share because, like I said before, this is a safe place. And you can begin to step out and learn how to grow in your grace. We welcome it. We honor you and we honor the gifting in you. Even if you're one of those weird ones. You know, I told you I like the odd ducks. I told an intercessory group one time that they were the duckbill platypus of the body of Christ. And I loved them. Oh, they were so mad at me. You just have to forgive me. One of the things you'll learn is the message yesterday was so important because we are going to need a lot of forgiveness along the way, because we are going to speak the truth in love as we see it. But we're also open to correction. We don't have all the answers, but we have some. And what we do have, we will share with you. Thank you so much. We just receive your presence. It's a gift to us, Lord. We receive it with great joy. With great joy. How wonderful you are. How holy you are. How merciful and kind you are. There is no one like you, Father. You are unique in all that exists. You are unique. Father, you always were, you are now, and you always will be. There's no shadow of turning in you. You are the same yesterday. You are the same today. You are the same forever. As you were in the garden with Adam and Eve at the loss of their beautiful son, so you are with us when we lose children. So you will be with us to the end. Father, I thank you for your merciful kindness. I thank you that you know us in our joy and you know us in our sorrow. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Even when we're confused, Lord, you're never confused. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I know that as I look out over this gathering, there are many stories here, Lord. Stories that only heaven will know. Stories of great joy. Stories of great sorrow. Stories of laughter. And stories of frustration. Stories of lack of understanding. Stories of your people plowing on in the face of great adversity. Stories of compassion. And stories of anger. A room full of stories. And you know every story, Lord. You know every story. And you know the outcome of every story. You make a way for us where there seems to be no way. You open doors where there seems to be nothing but closed doors. How wonderfully amazing you are. How wonderfully kind you are. I believe you when you said you will always do what is good, what is right. Whether we understand it or not, you will always do what is right. And for that, I am deeply, deeply thankful. Help me to appreciate what you've given me, Lord. Help me to appreciate the love I have in my life. Help me to appreciate those that are faithful. And help me to appreciate the ones that have been sent like iron sharpening iron that causes distress within. Help me to appreciate them. Help me to appreciate that boss that didn't give the promotion, or that spouse that didn't bring the flowers. Help me to appreciate the child that sometimes obeys one day and the next day is rebellious. Help me to appreciate everything you've given me in my life. For all things, Father, work together for good. All things, not some things, all things work together for good. To those that are called according to your purpose, those that have set their hearts upon you, look at us today, Lord. Each one of us, look at us. We have gathered to learn. We've gathered to please you. Write our name in your book. Write our destiny in your book. Let the choices we make today affect our destiny tomorrow. And help us to recognize those choices, Lord. And when others make choices that we do not approve of, help us to be kind and merciful and to see that even in those choices, you are working for our good. And some of the things that have seemed to be the worst events have been the stepping stone to the greatest advancement in the kingdom. Thank you for that. What a miracle. Bless this group, Father. Open their ears to hear. Cause them to hear in a new way. Let them hear what's meant for them. Father, I pray that they will understand the things of the kingdom and that they will grow and grow and grow. Whew. Amen. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbals. You know, we are very familiar, those of us who've been Christians for any length of time, we're very familiar with this scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter is called the love chapter. And since God seems to be focusing on love in this hour and relationships, it would be good for us to go over this chapter again in our private time and begin to ask God questions. You should be asking God a lot of questions. Not only about your personal life, but about America. About what you thought was going to happen that did or did not happen. And about the way our nation is heading. The shift of administration in our state. You should be asking God questions about that. How can I support this? How can I advance the kingdom here in Alaska? How can I support our governor? We have a new governor. And of course, the word of the Lord teaches us to pray for those in authority over you, right? Why do we pray for those in authority over us? Why should we? Ken? That they make wise decisions. Yes. That it will be godly choices. Yes. Someone else. Why should we pray for our governor? Who is our governor? Bill Walker. He is a wonderful Christian man. Yes. That he would implement God's governance in our state. Now, he's going to need what to do that. He can't just say the word of God says. You know, he'd lose his entire cabinet if he did that. And he would be crucified in the press. So how can he do that as a man of God? With God's wisdom. Godly counsel. People praying. How many of you are praying for our governor? Yay. This is a critical need for Alaska. There was an article in the paper recently, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, about the Arctic shelf. I believe we have a 200-mile protection, but we have not signed the Arctic Agreement. The U.S. has not signed it. So our coastlines are not protected. We cannot implement a greater protection around our borders unless we sign that agreement. But the U.S. does not want to sign the agreement because we're losing some of our sovereignty internationally. So I understand the reasons why we haven't signed it, but I also understand the reasons why we need to sign it. So politicians face decisions like this all the time, where there's reasonable arguments on two sides, and they have to make a decision that will affect the lives not only of Alaskans, but of the entire U.S., because other nations are now encroaching on the Arctic waters. In fact, Russia is building a military installation on Wrangel Island, which at one point Alaska had claimed ownership of, but we no longer own. President Obama has fully given that over to Russia. And now a military installation is being built on this island. Now, as an Alaskan, that does make me a tad bit nervous for the sake of our land and our people and the resources of our land. I'm not afraid, but I recognize that we have a responsibility that someone in Timbuktu does not have. We have a serious responsibility for our land, for our resources. We are stewards here. As the Kingdom Church, we are stewards here. We have a responsibility to protect and to govern, and we govern on our knees. You know, we make decisions by the Spirit, and then we begin to implement the plan and strategy of God on our knees. That's called being a kingdom king and priest. You were designed for rulership. You were designed to govern. You were designed to be a tool in the hands of the Spirit to implement the will of the only true God, our Father. You were designed to work with the Holy Spirit. You were designed to hear His thoughts. You were designed to capture His heart. You were designed to pray His will, because He loves you with a passion. He loves every nation with a passion, even Russia. He loves Russia with a passion. So I want you to write this date down, April 4. On April 4th, we are mobilizing intercessors to pray for Alaska and Russia. We have a team on the Russian side. We're mobilizing our Eskimo people, Yupik and Inupiaq, along the coastline to pray on that day, because we want the will of God. We want the Lord to show us how to pray. We want the Lord to give us the prayer that's needed for this hour, for our nation, but also for Russia. You know, Putin is really well-liked in Russia. And I'm talking about with people in the church also. So therefore, they have a different view of their government than we do, because they're Russian, on the Russian side. And we have a different view here in Alaska. In fact, we tend to be independent and want our own view. But we have a certain view to protect our land over here. But somehow, God's strategy needs to be found and discovered so we can work with the Christians' prayers in both countries for what they are praying and what we are praying. How can we be a blessing to them? How can we implement what God is doing in this strategic hour? I don't believe we need to react in fear because they're ramping up their military. I don't think we need to react in fear when their planes encroach on our airspace. I don't think that's a fearful thing. But I do think we need to be wise, alert, quick to the defense of our land, but quick to love our family in other lands. So on April 4th, I'm going to Nome. Eleanor and I and Nancy are going to Nome, and we're going to pray with the Eskimo people in Nome, and we're going to Sledge Island. We'll be praying on Sledge Island, and our Russian team will be praying on their side in the Kamchatka Peninsula, and we have different Eskimo groups mobilized along the coast. We've asked Joe Yagarak in Bethel to organize some prayer there. We have the Minto team praying, our Athabascan team's praying, and we're notifying a number of networks to pray with us. I just got off a conference call with the International Prayer Network out of New York, and they are going to put it on their newsletter to mobilize their people to pray for Alaska on April 4th. Also, Esther Ilniski is sending it out on her network so that network will be praying for Alaska. Therefore, we are the tip of the spear for this prayer, so we need to be praying strategically, not willy-nilly and not out of fear, not out of this, there's been a lot of propaganda between our two nations, a lot of propaganda. Let's not pray from the basis of propaganda, but let us hear from our wonderful Holy Spirit the prayer he wants you to pray. He may give you that strategic prayer that unlocks something in the spirit that causes a wall to come down and unity to flow so that the Kingdom Church in Russia can network with the Kingdom Church in Alaska. To me, that is of great value. Because one of the things that I see happening right now is the Kingdom Church is arising in nation after nation after nation. And they are beginning to unify and work together. Well, I want to see that here also. So part of our goal is to implement that. Think you can do that with us? April 4th. We're going to fly in. What time does our flight leave? I think it's 8. 10:30 in the morning? Okay, we're flying in at 10:30 in the morning, and we'll be going directly to Sledge Island, and we'll be praying then. So please join with us in prayer, April 4th. Pray for Russia, pray for Alaska. And we have a Russian guest here. Would you let us pray for you? This so you can be a focal point for our prayer for your beautiful nation and our nation. Would you please stand, Maria? Her name is Maria. I want everyone to start praying for her. Extend your hand right now. Come on. Come and lay hands on her. Some of you can, intercessors, come and lay hands on her. I believe in the laying on of hands. Come on, Sherry. Hallelujah. She just arrived and landed in the middle of a kingdom meeting. Very good. She's an ambassador. She's Russian, Jewish Russian. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we extend our prayers over Maria. We extend our prayers over her life, her future, her destiny, for her move to Alaska. Father, we thank you for the Russian blood in her. As we pray for Russia, we remember Maria. She is, you sent her here today for a purpose, for a reason. And she didn't have any idea she would land in the middle of a Kingdom Church meeting praying for Russia. But Father, you knew. You'd purpose she would be here, that she belongs to us. She's one of ours. Lord, we just extend a blessing upon her, and we cover her with the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for her to find a wonderful relationship with our Redeemer, Jesus, and his Holy Spirit. I pray she'll open her heart to the Holy Ghost, and that she will be so full of the Spirit that she will be prophesying and praying and shouting and dancing in the presence of the Lord. Father, I pray that you will determine where she is to go, what she is to do, open a door for finances for her, and give her a job and a house and a place to stay and many friends, Father. I pray that as you have brought your servant here, that you will make provision for her here in this land, that this would be a land of destiny for her. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As we pray for Russia, Father, let us remember Maria. For Maria, you have been brought here for a purpose. God brought you here. He determined you would land in Alaska right at this time so that we could pray for you. Because there's an impartation when the church prays, the believers pray, there's a release of blessing that happens. And you come from a people who understands blessing. You come from a people who understands protocol. And the Lord says, his hand is on you to bless you. He determined before you were born that you would be here on this day. He determined before you were born that you would have a blessing lying before you, that your destiny will be fulfilled, and that you will find him as Father and Lord, and you will find him as the one who governs every step, that he will determine your fate and your future. And you don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to fear what man will do to you. You don't have to fear any threatenings. I see threatenings that have come against you. And the Lord says you don't have to fear that anymore. He is taking care of that. And he will dissolve the writ that's been against you. He will dissolve those words that have come against you. And he will remove them from your life and cause a prospering to come in. Hallelujah.
And she's from Jewish. She's a Jewish Russian.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nothing happens by accident. Everything is ordered by the Lord. One thing I want you to really understand is how minutely God is involved in your life with every decision, because he is God. He can orchestrate things like that. Even when you make a bad turn in your life, I call it the stupid factor, because I've done this, where you make a stupid decision and you're mad at yourself for making that decision. Remember, God is so great, he built in a stupid escape hatch so that he can cause you to turn back and be established again on the path of your destiny. You cannot miss out on God. He will literally move heaven and earth to make sure that you find your destiny. He is that great. He is incredible. And we don't even comprehend how much he really loves you and wants you to prosper. And he has chosen, he has determined to bless you. The word of the Lord says, the blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, you know there's sorrow in this world. That's because the world still labors under that sinful judgment that came upon the world in the garden. But God is delivering this earth, breaking the chains that grip it. As kingdom people stand up and exercise their authority, you have authority not just in your own physical body. You have authority here. You have authority in your home. You have authority in your physical surroundings. And I've told the story numerous times before about the times when God had me pray over certain issues in our home, our land, and God suddenly moved in miraculous ways. We are supposed to function with the miraculous of God. And when sorrow comes in, God will raise a standard, because he will never allow you to be destroyed. His hand is on you to deliver you. Yes, I know some people are martyred. How many Egyptian Christians were martyred recently? Did they martyr all 200 of those? Oh my goodness. More than we can number. But this is the season of martyrdom. Every martyr, walking with the Lord, came to a point in their life where it was time for them to lay their lives down. And God called them home. Beautiful, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's the word of God. See, we look at things as we're so terminal here. It's because we live in a pretty linear existence where we had a beginning. I won't tell you when my beginning was. And we have an ending. But in all of that beginning and ending, we have a God who is outside of time. Isn't that an amazing concept? Doesn't that just blow your mind? Have you ever tried to think of what that's like to be outside of time? I've tried. My brain is too linear. It's too locked into time. But I am actually pressing the constraints of time so I can understand. I want to understand God. I want to understand what it's like for him to be timeless. I want to understand concepts that are too big for me here, because I want to understand how this timeless God could be so concerned. Now I'm thinking about a little boy in particular, Bryson, that I met on the plane 2 weeks ago. God is so concerned with that little boy who's being sent away. He's only 10. He just was ready to turn 11. And arranged for him to be seated next to me on the plane, because God loved that little boy. And he knew I would pray for him. He knew that little boy needed someone to listen to him and to hear his heart and his pain. And I have been praying for him every single day since then. He made me a bracelet while we're on the plane, because he said one of his social skills is giving. He was so cute. Aww. So he gave me some candy. Then he was trying to give me precious guy. But I had something to give in return, prayer. And when I told him I would pray for him, his face lit up. And he said, oh, good, you're religious, aren't you? I'm religious too. It's his only way of saying he believed in God. And God had him sitting next to me. Everything is orchestrated by the Lord. Everything. And he makes sure that out of every snare the enemy sets for your feet, there's a way of deliverance. He is so good. There is nothing the devil can do to you that will defeat you, except you. You could choose to not move with God. You could choose to back away. You can choose to stop moving in the kingdom. You could choose to be unbelieving. You could choose to be hard. You could choose to not forgive. You are the only creation that has that kind of choice. Animals move out of instinct. We move out of choice. The trees, the plants, they all just clap their hands and worship God, their creator. They recognize the creator. But you have a choice. And for some reason, that choice that was given you is holy to the Lord. It's amazing. And God's goal for you is that you fulfill your destiny in him. That you reach that which God has for you. Those Egyptian martyrs, precious to the Lord, they were young. I saw a picture of a line of them just ready to be martyred. They were young. They looked like my sons. They could have been my sons. They were beautiful. And they were getting ready to meet him face to face. And when they meet him face to face, he will give them a blessing. He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, because they would have fulfilled that which they were called to fulfill. And the enemy who thought he was destroying them has actually released them into a glory greater than he will ever know. That's why when the enemy destroyed Jesus, he thought he had won a battle. Instead, he unlocked something for the entire earth. He released the holy blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us, redeemed us, and now and forever will always be effective in our lives. There's incredible power in that. And I am so thankful to be simple enough to believe. What if I didn't believe? Ooh, isn't that a scary thought? What if you didn't believe? Where would you be? I'm not even sure I'd be alive. In fact, I'm fairly certain I wouldn't be. I don't think I would be here in Anchorage. I don't think I would have had the grace, the blessing to travel all over the world. I am so thankful that when I was 7, I said yes to Jesus. I didn't even know what I was doing. All I knew is my heart felt funny. And the words of the missionary were true. I knew they were true. And all I knew when I was looking at her with that 10-pound Bible that she was preaching from, that black book, scary black book, when she looked at me and she said, "Will you believe?" Something in my heart said yes. And I bowed my head. It's the only way I knew to be spiritual. And I prayed, and I remember that leap on the inside. Something changed, and I knew it instantly. I was 7 years old, and I knew I was not the same. I knew it. I remember trying to figure it out because I was I'm sort of an analytical type soul. So I was trying to figure it out at 7. What happened? Why did it change? Why do I have this lovey feel? I wanted to love everybody. My goodness, I was a mess. I was hugging and kissing. You should see pictures of me in those days. Here are all my sisters, stiff as a board. And I am draped over them, hugging, kissing, nuzzling, just this cuddle bunny. And they're just stiff as a board. What happened? I became a new creature. You are new creatures. So you are new creatures now filled with the Holy Ghost. And God has an assignment for you. God has an assignment for you today. You're going to meet some people today. You met Maria. You're going to love on Maria. Oh, get ready, Maria. We're going to mash on you. Honey, we're just going to love on you. We can't help it. It's our daddy loves you. So we do too. Get ready. I want you to listen to the word that the Lord has for us today. Would you please come up, Judy? God gave her a dream that she wanted to share with us. Now remember, I want you to put your listening ears on. Listen to what God is saying to you. Not every dream is meant for you. Not every prophecy on the internet is meant for you. 99% of it is not for you. You look for the 1% that's a gold nugget that's yours. And just disregard the rest. Don't be driven by a prophecy that's meant for Cebu City in the Philippines. Okay? Come on.
I can't write too and tell you. Well, last night I was over here and I was praying and all the music was going on. And I had been earlier studying about what God's plan is for his people during the depression that's coming. I won't. But I want you to know that what the Lord took me to was that when the Egyptians, when Moses told Pharaoh that there was going to be a death angel pass over, then what happened was the blood was put over all the Egyptians' door, right? They put it over their door, and God protected them from the death angel. Then they went out into the desert. But they had to relinquish everything that they knew from their past and walk with the Lord. That's spiritual, that's natural Israel, okay? But what that happened was God fed them with manna. He gave them water to drink. They had, their shoes didn't even wear out, and they had shelter, and there was a cloud, right, by day. Now, what God was telling me is that there's going to be things that are coming really hard on our earth. And we see it in different countries. But one day it will come close to us. And he has to get us to a place where we'll let go. Like, pretend like I have a coat on right now. And I unbutton it and I have to let go with both arms. And let it fall off me. That's the earth. The world, the things that we've been raised up with, money, checks, a job, houses, food, clothing, everything. And God was telling me this, that he's going to supply all of our needs, that we have to let the fear go and that we have to trust in him and that he's going to supply all our needs just like those children. We're spiritual Israel and he's going to supply all of our wants. In Matthew 6:8, it says, your father knows what you have before you ask. And the other thing that the Lord was showing me is that he has sealed us. You know, in the ancient days, they used a signet ring and they would seal. And that meant God's word, God's promises on you. Well, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became sealed with the redemption. That is found in Ephesians 4:30, you're sealed with redemption. But in Ephesians 1:13, it says, you are also sealed when you became filled with the Holy Ghost. You were sealed unto eternal life. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that wonderful? We need to let go of everything when that time comes and trust God that he's going to be beside us and supply every bit of our need. And you know what? The other thing, write down Isaiah 24:9, because this morning God gave this to me. Isaiah had a double portion of peace. God said this, when those heavy things come around us, we will be able to look up and God will give us the double portion of peace if we will receive it. Amen.
Wow, that's good. I want to hear what you heard. What did you hear her say? Double portion of peace. What else? Let go of everything. What else? Come on. Pardon? Stand on his promises. Someone else. Relinquish things from the past. That's good. We're sealed. We're safe with him. Let go of, now you're talking about mindsets, preconceived ideas. Okay. In prayer, preconceived ideas have to fall. Anyone else? Judy. He will supply all our needs. Now remember, these are fresh words from the Lord. And God has a nugget in there for you that you need. Because there'll come a point in your life when you'll need that nugget and you'll remember, oh, that's right. This is what you said, Father. You said you would supply all my needs. And then you stand on that word. Eleanor. Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had a, he's been talking to me about the bride. No mystery there, right? But he showed me the bride in a different way. You know, we have all these beautiful pictures of the bride dressed in the white and the boots on and the warrior bride. But in Isaiah 52, he talks about the bride being desolate and bloodied and beaten up. So the last 8 years when we've seen all these bridal pictures, bridal company, I've thought, I don't feel like a bride. I feel like I've been desolate, broken, and beat up. The beauty of this is that he's raising us up as that desolate, broken, and beat up group of people. And what I see is the stewarding on Alaska. We are the stewards. We are the watchmen. Because we are the watchmen, he's coming quickly to set you in a high place. Isaiah 52:8 says, "Awake, awake, 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 O desolate daughter." And I suddenly saw, oh my God, all of this desolation, all of this pain, all of this, I can't even get up off the ground, has been him. Because he's waking you up into that place. And you are watchmen. Alaska's a watchman state. And because the enemy wanted to try to take us out up here, that through that desolation, the Lord is turning the tables right now. If you can see yourself as standing up, God said, awake, awake. He didn't put his arm around the bride. He didn't say, oh, you poor bride. He said, get up, get up. And then he said, the word is in your mouth. For your own deliverance, you don't need anybody else praying for you, although it's good to get prayer. And then he says, when I looked this morning when I was praying, and I've been praying over the whole Bering West Coast because we're going up there, I saw the sun coming up. And I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, it's all of this desolate bride standing on that border, us with them in prayer. And they're standing. And they're standing like this, like Esther, and they're saying, this is our time, this is our day, and it's going to be on Passover. Awake, awake, stand guard. And I see the sun coming up. God has us as a watchman state, and as we watch, we're going to see that dividing line break. And the reason Maria's here is for us to come together as one for this assignment.
Hallelujah. Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask you again. What did this speak to you? What did you hear? We are watchmen. Breakthrough. Waking up from desolation. See yourselves standing up. That's important. And the word is in your mouth. The bride is one. Yes, the bride is one. That's good. Yes, he said that twice. I pay attention when God says something twice. Awake, awake, stand guard. So that's a command. It's an assignment. One phrase that stood out to me is when she said, the Lord is turning the tables. Boy, I like that. The Lord is turning the tables. No matter what it looks like, God is turning the tables. He's turning it around. Eleanor. Oh, Robert.
This morning at the governor's prayer breakfast, we were just sitting down with this couple that we know, and it was actually Ipley and his wife, and God just spoke a word, gave me a word for him, and I just spoke it to him, a prophetic word. But it ties in with both of the words with Judith and Nancy. And Judith had spoken a double portion of peace, and he will supply all your needs. And then Nancy spoke about waking up from desolation. And this man that we were sitting with, the last time I saw him, it's like his body seemed to be kind of weak. And but when we were sitting with him, he was speaking to me about what the Lord was showing him about what God had for him to do. And God just spoke a word right in my spirit. I said to him, as you step into and proclaim what God has spoken to you, he will strengthen your body and give life to your body. And I feel like for us, it's not just a word for him. As we step into to do his will and proclaim and speak those things that he has for us, he is going to give strength to our body. He's going to give life to our body. And it's a key as far as moving forward in him, in him releasing his life-giving spirit to us.
And there was an anointing on that song that you heard, Avril, and I want to confirm that to you. And so the Lord says to us today that I am coming in as a refiner's fire and as a fuller's soap to my bride again. I am coming as a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap to my church again. I am coming as a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap to my leadership again. That you would be turned wholeheartedly and wholeheartedly committed unto me. For I would not that you would look to the left or to the right. I would not have you to be double-minded as it were, but I cause you to be a sharp threshing instrument in my hand. And I say that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you will not look to man. You will not look here nor look there for your answers. For I have the answers. And even as you set your heart upon me, I say that I will fill your heart with my desires, for my desires are for the best interest of my body, for my kingdom purposes. When you look to man, you only get fulfilled for what is of man, for what is in your own lust and your own desire. But I say, look unto me as the author and the finisher of my faith, for I have so much more for you. I have so much more for you that you cannot contain. I have so much more for you that you cannot contain, and I don't want you to contain it, for you are my containers. You are my holy vessels that I am shaping and forming in this refiner's fire, that it would not leak out, that it would not crack, that it would not be one that would spill out here, there, and everywhere. But I say that I want you to be my holy containers. I want you to be my holy vessels, that when you pour out into my body, that you would pour me out, that you would pour my truth out, that you would pour my love out. For many have come in with a mixture, as it were, a mixture of doctrine. And my people have been getting swayed by every wind of doctrine that has been coming their way. And I say that there are many who have come up with mixed doctrines, even onto this land. But I say to you that even as I cleanse you, and even as I purify you, you will come in with the word of the Lord, and you will cut away that which is of a mixture. You will cut away that which has caused confusion and error in my body. For I say that I want a bride that is steady. I want a bride that is pure. I want a bride that is mature. I want a bride that is bold. So I say, go forth in the holy calling wherein I have called you, and I will cause you to go forth as one army, linking up together, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, for my kingdom purposes. And even as you see this earring that has been made by one ivory, it is made one. For I am making you one in my love. There is no division in my body. There is no strife in my body. For when you see that, it is of the flesh and it is of the soul. For I say, even during this time, during this weekend, I am coming to make you whole with my refiner's fire and my fuller soap, that you can go forth with boldness and with clarity and purity.
Praise God. Boy, that's a good word. All right. Tell me what you heard. He's making you whole. Fully committed. Be fully committed. With refiner's fire and fuller soap. Does anyone know what that means? What's fuller soap mean? It's a scrubber. A scrubber. Don't mind the scrubbing. Come on, purify. What else? Kay. Yes, boldness and clarity, not double-minded. Yes. He's called us to be holy vessels that pour out his truth and his love. He mentioned that several times, that you are a holy vessel, his container. You contain something very, very holy. But if you're a container, that means you have to pour it out. Doesn't do any good to have coffee sitting in a coffee pot. You have to pour it in the cup. He's shaping us with the fire. Yes, no division. He did say we're to link. We're to link shoulder to shoulder and arm in arm. He's making us a sharp instrument. Let's stop and look at that one for a second. What does that mean? A sharp threshing instrument. Any farmers here, do you know what a thresher does? It cuts. Tell them what it does, Judy. Whatever it is you're threshing, whatever it is you're threshing, you whack it down. It's used for harvest. That tells me we're entering a harvest season. Now, he said you were a sharp threshing instrument. Who's going to be doing the harvesting? Yeah. Anyone out there doing some harvesting? Come on. All of you, sharp threshing instrument. All right, what else did you hear? Don't be a man pleaser. Whew. That's like the blind leading the blind, if you follow. What God, explain that. There you go. You're to be a vessel, a channel that it pours through. Your blessing pours on others. You notice he called you a holy vessel? Some of you don't feel very holy. We have very pious understanding of holiness based on liturgical churches. I've been in liturgical churches. I actually preached in one time. So there's a certain holy, honorable protocol with the garments, the dress, the traditional music, etc. God has made you a holy vessel, exactly the way you are. Did you know that I had a friend of mine in Texas who was flying up here, and she said she could tell she was getting close to Alaska when she hit Seattle, because beards, big boots, Mackinaws, and backpacks showed up. They could also tell when they were in Los Angeles, when someone was coming, a plane was flying from Alaska, because boxes and boxes of frozen fish, crab, halibut were being unloaded. You know, we are a different breed up here. We really are. But you are holy to the Lord. With your boots and down coats, you're holy to the Lord. with your, you know, if you ever notice, if you go to a performing arts center for an opera or a play or something, you'll see people dressed to the nines. I mean, classy looking, furs and heels and suits and, yep, hats. And then sitting next to them will be someone in big boots and Mackinaws and, you know, and this is Alaska. Plaid shirts. Yes, you have to have a plaid shirt. Isn't that right? Yes. Very Alaskan. Yep. And jeans. At a play. Yes. Very different. My son took me to the Performing Arts Center for B.B. King. You know who B.B. King is? I happen to love B.B. King. I mean, he is a fabulous jazz blues musician. And he had a rocking number. Well, of course, I had to get out in the aisle and dance. You can't just sit there. So I wasn't the only one dancing. We're boogieing down. I mean, you know, our generation knew how to dance. The next day, Tom Jr. went back to work. And one of the guys who knew he'd taken me to this thing said, "Did you have a nice time with Mommy?" And he started to laugh and he said, "I don't think he has a cool mother like I do." Be yourself. There's a certain freedom in the kingdom. I want you to be yourself. I spoke at a Bible school in Canada, and I had to wear, you know, it was like 30 below, but they insisted I wear a skirt and heels. And so I carried it with me, and, you know, you honor the protocol of the house. So there I am, dressed to the nines, and I'm preaching about being who you are in the kingdom. God is setting you free to be who you are. There was a young First Nations boy in the audience. He was a drummer. And he said he had this drumming sound in him, and this was after the meeting, and it was one of those First Nations dances, you know? And he said he's afraid to play it because it's not Christian. I said, "Are you Christian?" "Oh, yes, yes, yes." "Are you filled with the Holy Ghost?" "Oh, yes, yes, I speak in tongues." I said, "Are you the one playing the drums?" "Yes." I said, "Be who you are." You should have heard him that night. Shocked everyone. Every eye in the room shot over to him as he began to play. Because that is who he is. That's the sound in him. Each of you carries a sound. Each of you. And the interesting thing I have found is when I'm in a place where I resonate with the land, now God's given me a real grace because I travel so much internationally. When I get to a country, I listen and watch the worship until I feel the sound. When we were in Mongolia and Eleanor was dancing, now Eleanor dances an Eskimo dance, and she's very good, it's very prophetic. But you should have seen all of these Mongols. They were watching her like a hawk. All these young people. And pretty soon they began to move. Just standing there, began to bend and move with her. They were picking up her sound. And they began to dance. And a number of them were imitating what they saw in Eleanor. And I thought, oh. The DNA roots go all the way back to Mongolia. And then they began to dance their Mongol dance, and they were moving their shoulders like this, only real fast. I can't do it. But I tried. I gave it my best shot. It looked like a herd of horses. They're like the withers of a horse moving. And they were moving their feet in a certain way that was like a horse's prance. It was like watching a herd of horses, most amazing dance I think I've ever seen. But the Mongols are horsemen. That's in their DNA. Genghis Khan, that conquered most of Asia, all of his wild warriors were on horses. It was amazing. You have a genetic makeup God has given you. Everybody has it. Even as Americans, we have it. There's something about us. Don't be ashamed of being an American. You know, I mean, I don't think we should be overly proud, but I think we should be proud of our nation because this is where God planted us, right? I had an English friend of mine. She said to me, "Mary, I could tell right away you were an American." I said, "How could you tell?" And she said, "Well, it's the way you walk." And I thought, the way I walk, you know, immediately you're thinking, did I do something wrong? She said, "No, you walk like you're free." I rejoiced when she said that. We are a free people. We are a kingdom people. There should be something about you that stands out in the crowd, whether you say a word or not. Therefore, don't break protocol and start doing bizarre, weird things. Don't try to prove you're spiritual by doing spiritual things. You don't have to do any of that. Just be who you are. Just be one with the Spirit of God in you. Let that anointing flow out of you and honor protocol of the house. Now, I'm speaking to you like my Haida aunt spoke to me. Submit to the protocol of the house. Don't despise anyone. Honor people. Honor them. Look them in the eye. Don't be afraid to look them in the eye. That's part of being an American, free. You can look them in the eye. You know, I found out that... do we have any Athabascans here? Avril? Yeah, that's right, Robert. Eileen? Yes. Would you give me your name again? Oh, that's right, Angela. Angel, okay, got it. One of the things, I'm married to an Athabascan. One of the things I learned is that I got a list of Athabascan do's and don'ts from the school district at one point. And I realized I had been doing the don'ts for a long time. One of which, my husband has beautiful eyes. They're green. I'm an eye person. I like eyes. So, and I like to look people in the eyes. I'm just very interested in people. And eyes tell a lot about someone. And, of course, my husband has these beautiful green eyes. So I would look longingly into those eyes with all the love in my heart, and he'd say, "Stop staring at me." Well, on my list of do's and don'ts, it says that Athabascans feel threatened when you look at them in the eye. It's a challenge. And I thought, oh, the light dawns. Would have saved me a lot of problems if I'd known that earlier. Learn why people are the way they are. Many non-natives will say that the natives are shifty-eyed because they won't look you in the eye. They're honoring you. The reason they drop their eye is it's a respect. It's not that they're shy. It's not that they're shifty-eyed. Learn differences. I found out when I was going over to Israel, or actually we were going to Turkey first, that I was never to cross my legs. That would show the bottom of my feet because that was a terrible insult. Do you know how hard it is not to cross your legs when you're used to crossing them? Or when we were in England and we were told not to use certain words, you know those words come to the forefront when you're preaching. And you realize you've said it when everyone in the room gasps in horror. And then you're thinking, what did I just say? Because to us, the words are innocent. I want you to be wise, to be aware, because love is aware. I know if my looking at someone in the eye is going to make them uncomfortable, I'm going to come up alongside them and just give them a hug from the side. You know, it's no skin off my nose. I can do that, no problem. We have to learn how to yield to one another. It's part of loving. It is part of loving. And I know that a lot of times, see, one of our goals as the Kingdom Alliance, and I think I can speak to Robert and Eleanor in this, is we want to see unity between the different cultures. Cultural unity. We want to see the kingdom expression in every culture come forth. I want to see more dancers dance with the anointing that Eleanor has. I want to see preachers preaching with the anointing that Ken Friendly does, the black preacher up on the hill. I want to see some Holy Ghost dancing and shouting like some of the black churches have. That is so anointed to me. How many of you were at our the Windwalkers Conference, May 2012? Do you remember the black group? Did you know that the leader of the group, when I spoke to him, he said, well, I don't know how to play the natives' music and song. I said, I'm not asking you to do that. I want you to be you. And I said, I want your black culture expressed. They brought the house down. Do you remember they came in all dressed in white? And they had a white baby grand piano? And did they ever boogie out? I mean, they had people on their feet shouting, and the whole crowd now, everyone is shouting and breaking through in the heavenlies, and they all started to weep. Did you see that when they came off the platform? They were sobbing in the corner because we fully embraced them in their cultural expression and celebrated it. Celebrate one another. Celebrate the words that came forth. Celebrate that Judith came up. Can you hear the teacher in her? Did you hear me whisper to her? That's because we're old friends. Yeah? Yeah. It's a long time, Judith. But you could hear the teacher in her. You ever need a good teacher? I'll tell you something else. She has a gift of healing. Judith was healed of stomach cancer, miraculously. When our church called a 3-day fast, our church fasted for the one woman with stomach cancer, and she was totally healed. Our church called a fast when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I was totally healed. Totally healed. That's kingdom. We are a family, and I want us to know one another. To carry one another's burdens. Now, I know everyone has to carry their own burden. I recognize that. Each of you needs to have someone who is praying with you. And don't always make it the leader. I can only pray for so many. I used to get all these requests to fast and pray for certain things. Because I was the national prayer coordinator for GLOW at the time. My goodness, I got it from New York and Florida and Oklahoma. There, would you fast between this date and this date, you know, for my family? Would you I mean, I'd starve to death. Come on. Someone that you're connected to, pray for you. I'll pray for you, but I can't carry all of your burdens. I'm just being real. I can love you. I can come teach you. Everything God gives me, I'm going to give to you. But there's only so much one person can do. Now, who's the idiot who left their phone on? Sorry. Yeah. Scott, is that your phone? Yeah, it would be. Probably a rocking out tune. Maybe a little, what's his name? What's the name of that guy we were singing karaoke to? He wore curlers in his hair. Bruno Mars. Anyone know Bruno Mars? Do you know Bruno Mars? Woo! He's got some hot numbers. Yeah, I could do without the curlers. Listen, I think the Lord has already been speaking to us. I'm not going to go into anything further, but I do want to end with a Q&A time. Do any of you have any questions about anything except the stock market? Right, right.
Can you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. We received, when Eleanor and I were down in Texas, we were in Corinth, Texas, then we drove down to Red Oak, Texas, and Denton, and we received three different prophetic words. I usually don't move on just one word. I always wait for confirmation. We had a word from Chuck Pierce, that we were to pray and guard our borders regarding Russia. And then we received a second word from Marty. What's Marty's last name? Cassidy. And she also mentioned that we had to pray for Russia. It felt urgent. Then we were down in Red Oak, several hours away, and I was speaking on Cindy and Mike Jacobs' TV show, and she suddenly started to prophesy and said that we had 2 years to deal with Russia, to lift a shield of protection. Now, I've heard this for a number of years from different sources, but to get three in a row like that and then to have a window to do it, it felt urgent. So we came back and we pondered it, we prayed about it, and we thought, okay, we're going to need to start mobilizing. But one night, I think we were over at Eleanor's, when suddenly we knew we had to do it quickly, we had a time slot to do it. Normally, I like a little more lead time, but we felt we needed to do it just over at Passover time. And to get that accomplished, it's an assignment given to the Alaskans. And we're mobilizing Alaskans to pray specifically about relationships between Russia and America, because Alaska is a vulnerable place because we're separated from the main continental U.S. We're up here. We are resource rich. Much of our resource is untapped. It's on federal land and cannot be developed. And a lot of the resources actually are being shut down. We also have rare earth minerals in Alaska, which is necessary for computer components and also necessary for missiles. And we have those in Alaska. So Alaska's resource rich. And you know that we used to belong to Russia. And Russia, Putin has said that we didn't, that the U.S. never bought Alaska, they leased Alaska, and the lease is up. So he has eyes on the resources, but as kingdom people, we have to be careful how we pray. Not out of fear, not out of animosity, but lifting a shield of protection over the state and the people in the state, and linking with our Russian partners who are also praying, because we have Christians along that eastern coast of Russia. They're actually, the Eskimo people are the same people on both sides. They speak the same dialect. So it's real important that we recognize that we are linking arms and to be wise in how we pray, but bold in praying. I believe we need to pray for protection. I believe we need to pray for wisdom. And I also want to pray that our those that make decisions for our state, which is, of course, our governor, his cabinet, and those that are in Washington, D.C., who have an input into Alaska, that they will make wise decisions regarding Alaska. There's always been a plundering of Alaska. I want that to stop. That's been, traditionally, that's the way the federal government has dealt with us. It's been a plundering mentality, and we want that to stop. Yes.
Okay. The beauty of this, is he planted you in this land. You know, we look at the history of Alaska, and even as we, how we came to Alaska, you know, how America did. But you've been planted here. You have that watchman in your DNA. And because you, God knew this was coming.
Right.
A millennia, thousands of years ago, and here, in this hour, in this moment, you get a hold of that in here, and you will stand. And what we want to see is God's hand, right, on what he wants to do with Alaska. But you have it in here. And so the more that that is released, in fact, I just pray, God, that that is loosed. Right now, it's a sense of revelatory understanding of your destiny.
Amen.
And so on the west coast there, with the Bering Sea, those people were planted thousands and thousands of years ago for this moment.
Right.
And so.
That's good. Thank you, Nancy. Yes. Right. That's good. Yes. Yes. Thank you. I agree. Has what? One out of three Russians have the DNA of Genghis Khan. Oh, no, I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew Genghis Khan had conquered Russia and Asia. You know, Genghis Khan's, we're talking about a Mongolian general. Okay. That's very interesting. When we landed in Mongolia, Putin came in with an entourage, and so did the Chinese president came in with an entourage. Yes. This time. Yes. Thank you. Very good. Very good. This, to me, is one of those significant mobilizations in the kingdom, and you don't want to miss out on being a part of this. I love you.
I love you, too.
Hi. The Lord is really, really showing me something right now in this meeting. When I looked at this lady, I don't know your name, okay? But the Lord is really showing me that he is, you're looking for a revival that you're hearing about. Well, you're going to see a great revival. And the Lord is showing me, when I looked up here, he's showing me Elder Anna's from the village. And he's showing me them at the altar. And they're saying, Adi! Adi! And they're crying out to the Lord. And the Lord is showing me, you're going to see the greatest move of God that this world has ever seen. and their cries have been heard. And there's teachers coming in that are going to try to stop this pure move of God. But God is raising up prophets and raising up people that are going to say no. No hidden agendas. No false teachings. We're going to come in with honor. And we're going to honor you. And we're going to honor you. And you're going to see your grandkids come in. And you're going to see your children come in. And it's going to be done with honor. It's not going to be done with force. You're going to see a great move come in. And you're going to hear drumming. And you're going to hear worship. And it's going to unlock something.
Amen. Amen. One of the words that you said is that it reminded me of Eleanor's word about the wind of doctrine, and that that God was protecting Alaska about the winds of doctrine that are trying to be poured out, but it's not his doctrine. Part of Eleanor's word also is that what I notice is that he said that he is his refiner's fire is upon the body, but it's also on the leadership. That he's doing a cleansing with inside of us so that we can really be his vessels that will hold that which he's putting inside of us, and it won't leak out and it won't be spilled out in just any old place, but it'll be held inside of us, and that we'll pour it out in his timing in the places that he wants to pour it out. And so I feel like as far as a part of the prayer that we can be praying for is that that, well, I'll just say it, the ministers that that come up and preach in the land, that God would bring those ones up. And those ones that that are sent by other means that would pour out winds of doctrine that don't belong here, that those things would be cut off also. You know, these Saturday meetings, it just seems like there isn't one of them that's the same. Of course, they're not the same, but it just seems like God just, you know, he'll take it by his Holy Spirit, and there's just something there that's so rich for each one of us. And I've just been really enjoying these times. This evening, Eleanor is going to be speaking. She has been experiencing some travail, some deep travail in the Spirit of God. And she's going to be sharing with us some of the things that God has shown her in those times. And it's going to be powerful. And today I was just feeling the buildup of the worship. It's like something's being broken. And I feel like there's going to be a great breakthrough for us in worship tonight. In the unity of his Spirit. So I just encourage everyone to come back this evening. If God puts a friend or puts somebody on your heart to invite them, because I feel like it's going to be very significant. It's going to be at 6 o'clock tonight. So come on in. God bless you all.